Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
John Honegarn is now 35. He first began experiencing symptoms of Tourette's at the age of 6. For the next 30 years, John wrestled with that kamikaze pilot, whom he eventually nicknamed Misty, short for Miss T. The Tourette's symptoms, verbal and facial tics, body spasms, self-inflicted punches, increased and intensified as he grew older. Moments of calm were few and far between. Fortunately for Josh, Tourette's was not the only constant in his life. His father nudged him off the couch and to the gym, where he discovered a newfound measure of control over his mind and body. The progress he makes there encourages him to make progress in other areas of his life as well. Seeing his symptoms as a challenge, he searches for a career that will help him control them. What better place than a library? And better yet, a library with its own workout area in the basement. Combining the forces of his two refuges, he becomes the world's strongest librarian. He starts a blog in which he shares his reflections, thoughts on books, and ongoing battle with Tourette's, and he now writes about it in his new book, The World's Strongest Librarian, a memoir of Tourette's, faith, strength, and the power of family. It's a great pleasure to welcome John Honegarn to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here.
I enjoyed this book, and I thank you very much for spending time with us. Give us a sense of what it was about the story that you thought would resonate with other people and something that you wanted to share with the world.
Well, it was kind of a weird situation because an agent originally contacted me and through another author named Seth Godin, who thought I should be writing a book. So when this agent contacted me and said, hey, what's the book? I had never conceived of doing a book, so it took 4 years to figure out what it might be. So I think what they would tell you is the most interesting, and what most readers have told me is the most interesting, that there are so many different kind of antagonistic threads all going on at once. I was raised in a very conservative Mormon household with a very loving family, and part of the book is about gently distancing myself from that church. I am a strong man, but also a librarian. I am often the loudest one in the library. There are just a lot of things that make people kind of prick their ears up and go, that's kind of weird, but there are four or five of those threads all happening all the time.
I think you make the interesting point in the book about Tourette's and about it having both a positive and negative effects on your life. And we'll start with the negative, which is that it is disruptive. It makes it hard to be out in public, and ultimately you write that it's very exhausting.
Yeah, I have a really extreme case. Most people will deal with a lot of the mental discomfort I do, people with Tourette's. Not many people will deal with the damage and the pain that I actually deal with. And for anyone listening who's not familiar with Tourette's, generally it manifests in two ways. It either makes people vocalize involuntarily or make noises, or they move involuntarily. Now, in those two ranges, that can look and sound like many different things. So yes, the negatives are absolutely that I'm only 35, but my body's got some pretty hard mileage on it. My joints are all screwed up. I'm always dealing with some pretty lingering pains. I've dislocated a thumb and gotten hernias from it, and my teeth are always breaking. But it's not a contest. I don't want anyone to feel like no one could possibly suffer anything like I am and live through it. There's always somebody suffering worse and handling it better. So yeah, that's the downside. It wears me out. It's noisy, although when I'm in public, I can white-knuckle it and stifle it when I need to. I have some perspective on it now as an adult that kids don't have, so there's really a mental component to it as well. At this point, I always know I can control my reaction to it, but when I choose to go outside, I can't guarantee that I can control how anyone else reacts to it. And that is a real burden on kids that being able to have this good of an attitude about it has taken a long time.
There, you write in the book about all the different ways that you've looked to counter the Tourette's, and ultimately, you talk about how it comes down to this truce, and basically, you are running on pure spite.
I do think that's kind of accurate. I'm not very good at letting people compliment me. So when I do hear, you know, you're courageous or you're inspiring, I tend to feel like inside, well, maybe I am, maybe I'm not, maybe I'm just stubborn. And yeah, I feel like I'm kind of in this fight with this thing, but it's not like this thing really knows that I exist or is personally pursuing me and no one else. But sometimes it helps to fight through it. I am a very competitive person, and it makes it easier sometime to pretend I'm actually competing against something or someone real.
Is the thing, the one thing that you identify with in the, you identify yourself in the on the cover of the book is the world's strongest librarian. So it is that of your profession as librarian that is your moniker, if you will. And so what brought you to that particular profession, and has that profession, what has that afforded you in your life?
Well, I grew up in libraries. My parents were taking me to the library before I was even born, so I never really had a chance not to love the place. So I was always going to have a love of books and storytelling and writers and writing. These days, you know, my professional perspective, I look at a library, and a library is the opposite of ignorance. And in that way, it is a direct antidote to fear and to hate. And the library represents every unasked question. You know, it's just waiting for people to come in and ask and try to enrich their lives. The reason I chose to work at the library, you know, aside from many other reasons I could give you, is that I knew it would force me to keep asking questions about the Tourette's, because when I'm there and I'm having tics, I am terribly exposed. And I have to deal with every minute as it comes and think, how can I make this minute better? What question can I ask next? You know, and of course, the best part of working about the library is the staff there, and then also the patrons. I'm also surrounded by books. It is everything I care about. But at the root of it all, it is a symbol of all the questions I think we should be asking ourselves. And with my particular physical and neurological issues, being there every day is a gut check that forces me to keep trying to figure out how to better deal with the disorder.
And it's okay to be the loudest guy in the library.
You know, if you read the book, any of you listening, you'll see it's a pretty wild library. I am not always the loudest one, but I often am. And like I said, I can stifle it if I need to.
Yeah.
And I generally need to at the library, but there's a cost to doing this, because if I don't let it drip out in a lot of little ticks during the day, instead of having that kind of release of the valve throughout, when I go home, it's more like the pipe blows.
Yeah. Well, and you still don't have a tremendous amount of control, right? I mean, that's the whole neurological disorder aspect of it.
Yeah, not really. You can get by on guts and willpower for a while, but it is like there is a quota of intensity that just has to come out every day, one way or another. The only way I can really get rid of the, you know, what we might call the itch to have tics, it kind of feels like the pressure of having to sneeze, but everywhere through your whole body all the time. If I can exhaust myself to the point where I literally don't have the energy to physically execute the tics, I get some relief there. But there's not always time to just go into the weight room for 3 hours just so you can barely walk out of there later, just so you can stop making noises.
So you go into the weight room, and that is a way for you to obviously to become stronger and also to help deal in some way with the Tourette's. I mean, if you're hitting yourself, is it a good idea to be stronger?
You know, it's a good question, and it's a valid question. It is it's great to be able to voluntarily move powerfully.
Yes.
Since you don't have as much control over involuntary movement, it's harder to dial it back. I don't hit myself very often. I'm in a cycle right now where that really is not the thing.
That was a part at one point, though.
Yeah, and it still happens occasionally.
Yeah.
I can generally, if I know which tick is coming, I can try to misdirect it a little bit or head it off or or, you know, get my head out of the way, stuff like that. But yeah, if there is a downside to getting stronger, that might be it in my case. I mean, to lift more weights, it's generally the practice of learning how to contract your muscles harder. And I'm simply able to contract my whole body harder than most people are able to. And so it takes a heavier toll than it might for most people.
You know, I'm you're what did I say? You're 6'7", right?
Yes.
So I mean, I'm 6'6", and I feel like I'm half the time in my life I'm a bull in a china closet. You know, you go into doors and you bump your head all the time and all this stuff. So to not have and I'm a klutz. So not to have complete control over a very large body, I would think would be additionally troubling as well.
It certainly can be. I mean, if you're that tall, you know, you kind of lose all perspective of your size.
Absolutely.
Until you see yourself in a mirror or a photo with somebody else.
Or you see somebody taller and it freaks you out.
Yeah. I've been in New York for 3 days in tiny little restaurants and crowded onto the sidewalks, and I am so aware of how much space I have to myself back in Salt Lake relatively. So, yeah, I mean, when people get closer or when the walls get closer in a store, the urge to have the tics seems to get worse. It just wants to be as socially unacceptable as possible. And I'll say that I am also a klutz. I would not be graceful under any circumstances. But you are absolutely right. It's a great point.
When you, I mean, are you able to go to the theater? Are you able to go see a movie? Are you able to, go where you have to be quiet and controlled for an extended period of time?
There is nothing I love more than going to the movies. And it's pretty rare anymore that I make myself go to a theater. It's kind of, I've gotten to the point where I'm old enough, so I actually feel like I can wait to watch the movie later.
Right.
And I would hate to actually spoil someone else's enjoyment of a movie, given how expensive movies are getting. So it's hard. The last time I went to the theater, Jeanette and I went and saw Jack Reacher, and the theater was packed. It was opening weekend. And so I really had to grind down because there was a stranger on the side of me. There were people behind me and in front of me. And I can kind of pick which tics I'm going to have in the short term. And I didn't know how bad it had been until I got out of the movie and I went in the bathroom. I looked in the mirror. My face was just scratched raw with all these red stripes. And I had blood trickling out the left side of my mouth from where I had bitten my cheek inside. So... yes, I can do it.
But is it worth it?
It's often not. And I think part of it, again, it is just getting older. It is not like I simply cannot stand to see that movie this weekend at any costs. But I do have to consider it. Do I want to go to this movie? Can I go to a restaurant? And I used to do the kind of things just to prove a point, like to prove I could do it. I feel like I've proven to myself, yes, I can do it, and now sometimes I'm going to let myself off the hook and say, I'm not going to make myself do it because I know I'm not just being a weenie.
Right. The book is fascinating. It is The World's Strongest Librarian, a memoir of Tourette's, faith, strength, and the power of family. The book is published by Gotham Books. John, thank you very much for being with us, and best of luck to you with the book as well.
You are so welcome. And if anybody is listening, what I like more than anything is to hear book recommendations from people or what you're reading. You can always find me on Twitter or Facebook or the blog at Josh Hanegarney on Twitter and Facebook.
Great. Josh Hanegarney, thank you very much for being with us. Josh, thank you very much.
It was my pleasure. Take care, everyone.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.